Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 123, and it's a Monday, January 7th, 2019. Happy New Year, everyone! It's the first episode of the year. So, I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes. Welcome to the show, where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. So, like I said, it's the first episode of the year, and we took a break during the holidays, and we just came back now after a week. We could have come back last week, but hey, let's have some more break because, you know, we were busy. I was out of town and everything. You were doing busy stuff. You did a lot of cookies. You made a lot of cookies last holiday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So pretty good.
I did a bunch of baking stuff, so didn't get it all finished, but that's okay.
You didn't get them all finished?
Well, like, I made gingerbread men, but I didn't get to decorate them because I'd run out of time because schedule was too crazy.
Speaking of gingerbread, oh my God, I still have a gingerbread, unfinished gingerbread lying right here upstairs right now. I think I should throw it away. I think Mike would be angry if I don't finish it. Maybe at some point I'll finish it. But it's already January. So how was your weekend, Ray? It's just a lazy weekend for you too?
Yeah, it was a pretty lazy weekend. Didn't do too much except celebrate your birthday.
That's right. I took down the tree Saturday. That's what I did the whole day. And did you take down all your trees already?
Yeah, all the trees and everything are down. They came down New Year's Day. The only stuff I got left is the outside.
Oh, you still have to work on the outside ones? Okay. I should thank
I just got to get on the lights outside.
Oh, yeah, that's lights. The lights. So I should thank you guys for celebrating my birthday last Sunday, and it was good. It was a surprise.
Right.
Happens every year, but it's always fun. It's always good to see family there. Family meaning y'all. So it's good. We had dim sum. We celebrated with dim sum. It's always good to celebrate a birthday on with the dim sum. And it's really good. And thanks for the Catan game. That's awesome. I think it's good to play it here. It's the basic one, so I should be able to catch up on that one, right?
Yeah. If you have any friends, you can invite them over and y'all can learn to play it.
I always need someone to teach me, though. I mean, to guide me, because once you're in the middle of it, then you get to play it. Then you get to understand.
Well, you get the rule book right there in the box.
I know, but remembering all these things that and I don't like reading rules. I like people telling me the rules.
Oh, you like being told what to do, huh?
That's right. No, not always.
I'll remember that.
All right. Anyway, so let's go to the story. Let's see what are the new stories for the year, the first few stories we have the year, which the first one is really tragic. Why? Because they always kill the gays. Always kill the gays.
Let's kill the gays. Kill the gays. Kill the gays.
That's always happens. Okay, just to give some context, usually in TV shows, it's either the gays die or the bears die. And this time, I guess the gay guys die. I don't know why. Anyway, so Doctor Who. It's in Doctor Who. I haven't been catching up on Doctor Who myself. So
unless it's Game of Thrones, then everybody dies.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. So Doctor Who introduces a new gay character, only to kill him off 25 seconds later. So I'm interested about this episode. So Doctor Who may have set a record with the fastest bury your gays moment ever. Fans of the hit BBC sci-fi show were thrilled when a new gay character was introduced in its New Year's Day special resolution. But the excitement didn't last long, because less than a half minute later, the character had his lifeless body dragged down an empty hallway. Actor Connor Calland made his TV debut playing a gay security guard named Richard. Richard. So he's actually Dick, right? So in his less than 30 seconds of screen time, he challenges Dalek-controlled character Lynn, played by actress Charlotte Ritchie, as she attempts to break into a secure facility. When asked who can open a fingerprint-controlled door, Richard responds, "Today, just me. most secure digits in Yorkshire. That's what I tell my boyfriend anyway. I probably shouldn't be telling you that, but I'm new at this. And that's when he gets killed. Naturally, fans aren't pleased with the Doctor Who murdering yet another LGBTQ character. Why does it happen, Ray? I don't understand. Why is it... It's almost stereotypical already that a gay would die or a bear would die. What's up with that, Ray?
I don't know. I guess it's easier to kill off the less loved characters.
Yeah. And a couple of... we did some an article last year. Well, one of the our... episodes. One of our articles last year was about characters or straight actors from Glee. Remember him? Who doesn't want to do any more gay characters?
Gay characters.
And then now a gay character comes in and kills him off. Ugh, gosh. Anyway, so that's just my comment about it. They always do. I don't know why. Is it part of the script?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's usually.
I guess they're just saying gay people die just as easy as regular people.
Yeah, I guess. But for one thing,
but my question is, why did they develop that 5 seconds of that character just to kill him off? He can just as well said, "Oh, only my fingers can open it," and then she killed him, and that would have been it.
Yeah. Either that or resurrect him later or something like that. I don't know.
You never know. Doctor Who. I don't follow Doctor Who that much. Maybe some of the fans can tell us why they did this. Why?
Yeah. I know. I'm a Doctor Who fan. It's just that I haven't watched. I mean, before I was. It's just that I haven't been following ever since, when Matt Smith was his name. Towards the end, I didn't get to follow that anymore when they had a break. So there were two Doctors already. The guy... And I forgot the guy's name. And then the girl's name now. It's a new girl Doctor Who. So I'm intrigued still. But, I have so much to watch. I'm still finishing Daredevil right now. Good Lord. So, that's what I'm doing. Okay, Ray, let's go to the next article.
All right. Viewers in a panic after a local news station broadcast gay sailor's homecoming kiss. And we're back in Florida, people. When a local news station in Florida broadcast footage of two men kissing, viewers went ballistic. Last week, News 4 Jax in Jacksonville reported on U.S. sailor Kenneth Woodington, who won a raffle to get the first kiss upon disembarking the USS...
The Sullivan,
after returning from 7-month deployment to the Persian Gulf in Europe. Naturally, Kenneth chose to kiss his husband, Brian. The couple mimicked the famous 1945 VJ Day kiss in Times Square. After broadcasting the kiss, the station was bombarded with pissy letters and phone calls. How sad that your station has dropped to such a low as to show a gay couple kissing on your newscast, one viewer said. I thought this was family-friendly news channel, another wrote. I'll never watch your news again, so long as News 4 Jax, a third person declared. Asked how they felt about the negative response, the couple tells News 4 Jax they could care less. Honestly, I'm the type of person who doesn't really care about what people say, Kenneth says. My grandmother's always taught me, she said, you know, some people have a different life and this is how they are and you just have to treat them as such and treat them with kindness and respect, Brian adds. The photo was also shared on the Naval Station Mayport's page, where it received pretty much the opposite response. The comments were overwhelmingly positive. Times have changed when a gay sailor can welcome home his partner without fear, one person wrote. Welcome home. Life is short. Love whoever you want to love. I'm not gay, and this doesn't offend me one damn bit, another said. Why should it? Love is love, for goodness sake. A new twist on an old favorite, a third person commented. Love it. Some people had a little fun with it by mocking those bitter News 4 Jax viewers who found the kiss so offensive. This makes me sick to my stomach, one person joked. White shoes after Labor Day? This is disgusting, another one wrote. The weather should be ashamed of itself, looking all gloomy.
Yeah.
Damn it, this is exactly what I warned you about, running off and joining the Navy, a third person added. Bill Austin, spokesperson for the Navy Station Mayport, tells News 4 Jax that boys kissing boys and girls kissing girls has happened many times before, and it's not an issue for the Navy, which says it's always been gender neutral on the forefront of progress.
That is true. So it's just amazing that you see a gay couple, making having an iconic kiss, in front of the boat. Imagine though, if it's like both girls, do you think people would fuzz about it? Do you think people would be disgusted?
There's always somebody to bitch about something, because this is 2018 was the Me Too year that everybody complained about everything. So
yeah. No. This is different though. This is different. If it's gay people, it's two guys kissing, people would get an outrage. But if it's two girls kissing right there, why won't the two lesbians be kissing there? And this is my guess. If there are two girls kissing right there, woohoo! Yes, they would be, they would be on it. People, all those people would be on it. I don't think people would be disgusted. But if it's two guys kissing, oh yeah, that's gonna be hell to pay. That I'm not gonna watch your TV show anymore or your newscast anymore. And it's just I think it's about.
Well, they can go back to watching Fox.
Yeah, that's what they do. I don't know. We don't know. Allegedly, they do. Anyway, let's
go back to watching Fox.
Okay, let's go to the geek. Okay, so this is okay. Everybody there, many people have already watched Back to the Future. This is on the Back to the Future 2, right, Ray? When they did go to the future, because Back to the Future, the first part one, they went to the past, and then Back to the Future 2, they went to the future. So that's when they introduced Marty McFly's self-lacing basketball shoes, Nike shoes. So
and the hoverboard.
Then the hoverboard. Yes, that's right, the hoverboard. Okay, so let's go to the story first, and then we'll continue discussing this one. So Nike's first self-lacing basketball shoes go on sale in 2019 for $350. So the Nike Mag, it's real. No, almost they say it's called the Nike Mag, I guess. If you've always wanted to play basketball in a pair of self-lacing shoes like Marty McFly's Nike Mags, you will get your chance next year, or this year, because this was last year's article. On the company's quarterly earnings call, executives revealed plans for an adaptive performance basketball shoe in 2019 that will cost around $350. 2 years ago, we got our first look at the HyperAdapt self-fitting technology in a $720 low-cut training shoe. But this technology will be cheaper and probably lighter, and obviously more athletically inclined than the 2015 Nike Mag. The Jordan 33 that debuted in September gives an idea of how it could work, even if it relies on the wear to tighten the shoe's fast-fit tightening system. As CEO Mark Parker describes it, we have a smart shoe designed for the perfect fit, and it's a major step in advancing and connecting our digital transformation to product. CFO Andy Campion mentioned a spring time frame for the launch of the HyperAdapt in basketball, as well as its next-gen Air Max, the 720, if it's with its tallest Air Sole ever. So that's the new shoes that's gonna, I don't know if it's gonna be something interesting. So if you were 20 years younger, Ray, and you have the money for this, would you be interested in this?
No.
Not even?
No.
For what reason?
I'm sure there's some sneaker collectors out there that's gonna be all about it, but I don't like spending $100 on a pair of shoes. Actually, if I spend over $65 on a pair of shoes, I feel like I'm being raped.
Yeah, that's true. But then I'm just saying, if somebody gave you a gift card, here, buy a pair of shoes, and here's $350.
For $350, I could buy like several pairs of shoes.
Oh, so you really don't want this. You don't really want any So you're not at all interested in self-lacing shoes.
No, white men can't jump, so there's no reason for me to buy a basketball shoe.
Okay, basketball shoes, what if there are running shoes or the shoes that you wear right now, something similar like that. Ray, it's really about the self-lacing. It's about the self-lacing thing.
I can tie my own shoelaces. I'm an adult, and I was taught as a child how to tie my shoelaces.
So no, not interested at all. Okay. Well, if you ask me, I'm not interested at all either, because even though it's high tech and everything like that, I think it's a waste of technology. And I don't know if it's. I don't, Maybe if it's something really cheap, let's say it goes down $25. Hey, Ray, here's $25. Shoe. Here you go. You get it from Walmart. Self-lacing
shoe. When it gets into under $75 range and I'm too old to bend over to tie my shoes, then I'll worry about it.
Okay. So now you are going to worry about it. So you're saying if you're going to buy shoes, let's say these are $35.
Yeah.
10% of the price right now. And they're not basketball shoes. They are running shoes or they're cross trainers, the kind of shoes that you like because you just run at Memorial Park. And this is self-lacing. Would you get one? I'm trying to get to a point to see where will you get one when.
Well, I just said, you know, if they were under the $65 range and I'm older and can't bend over and tie my shoes anymore, I would probably buy a pair of these.
So I could
just stick my old wrinkled up bunion arthritic feet down in them and they just suck up and fit comfortably.
So you're saying it's all about comfort and price, of course. And okay, by that time, you know, shoes might be you just slip in your shoes because of age. I could see your point. Anyway, so maybe I don't know, even though they're self-lacing, maybe it is cheaper. I would be around the price too myself. For me, it's the price. If it goes down to it's $35, for example, it become available in Walmart or in Target or at Payless or Academy, and then a pair of shoes, self-lacing shoes, you put it in there. Okay, I'll buy it $35. It's gonna.
If I paid $350 for a pair of shoes and I went somewhere and somebody scuffed them, I would have to whoop their ass, and then I'd go to jail, and then it'd cost me a whole bunch more money with lawyer fees, bail, court fees, all that kind of stuff. So it just ain't worth it.
Okay. All right. So I guess that's Nike. What do you guys think? Would you guys buy one of these? And $350 is really steep. Let's say some people would spend the $99, for example. Maybe 10 years from 5 years from now, it would go down. Maybe. And I'll be on the fence. I'll be on the fence if that happens.
Yeah.
All right, Ray. Let's go talk about sperm donor.
Sperm donor. Okay. All right. This week's bizarre. Sperm donor must pay child support to lesbian couple. Court rules. A judge decides William Marotta must pay child support to a lesbian couple he gave sperm to 5 years ago after they made an appeal on the internet. An American man who donated sperm to a lesbian couple is the legal father of their daughter and must pay child support, according to his rule. A judge in the U.S. state of Kansas decided that William Mariota, 47, was financially responsible for the girl who is now age 4. The couple, Jennifer Schreier and Angela Bauer, have found Mr. Mariota by advertising on the internet and did not use a doctor in the donation process. They signed a contract agreeing that Mr. Mariota would have no financial responsibility for the child. But when the couple encountered financial difficulties and one of them applied for state benefits, the state of Kansas applied to a court to have Mr. Mariota declared the child's father and made responsible for her. The ruling suggests that in Kansas, a man can only legally be considered a sperm donor if he goes through a doctor. Shawnee County District Court Judge Mary Mavetti said a parent may not terminate parental rights by contract even when the parties have consented. The parties of self-designation of Mr. Mariota as a sperm donor is insufficient to relieve Mr. Mariota of parental rights and responsibilities. Ben Swin, a lawyer from Mr. Mariota, said his client had only been trying to help the couple who wanted a child, and he would appeal the ruling.
Yeah. So in this case, the needs of the child is very essential. And I think what happened here was when they went through. It's the parents, the lesbian couple. If they ran into a snag in their finances. Hey, I have an idea. Let's get someone else to pay for this.
Well, it said the state did that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, while that one of them applied for state benefits, the state of Kansas applied to a court to have Mr. Mariota declared the child's father and made responsible for her, so the state wouldn't be responsible for helping finance the child. So they went after him.
Yeah. I see what you're saying, but don't you think? Do you think the lesbian couple did not know that? We're just theorizing here. Wait a second. I'm in a snag right now. Let's get some help. Oh, by the way, if we do that, the father, the sperm donor, will have responsibility too.
Probably not.
Probably not. Do you think? Probably not. So you're saying it's possible that there was no malicious, there's no malice in what they did.
From reading the way this story reads, no. This is all on the state. The state went after him, not the parents.
Okay. All right.
So
okay, let's hope that that's what happened, really, because some people may have some advice that, if you go to state, this would...
Because the state's ordering him to pay, not the mothers. Yeah. I mean, if the mothers would have went after him, then it would have said the mothers would have went out after him.
Yeah.
And maybe they knew that if they went to the state, that the state would go after the father. So,
yeah,
it can happen.
So that was my point, that they knew that they may have known that that could happen. So, hey, let's
But that's not represented in the article. It says the state.
The state.
But I don't know. I don't live in Becky-ass Kansas to figure out, you know, what their rules are.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just interesting that, maybe we need to, because if they did not go to the state, for example, and they're having financial, then this wouldn't have happened, right?
True.
Yeah. So, I think they knew what to.
And if he feels like if he really wants to fight it, I mean, if he wants to pay that kind of money to fight it, they could take it up to higher court.
Oh yeah,
they have it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. He's going to have an appeal, but let's see. Yeah. Let's see what's going to happen. And maybe we'll have a update next time. Anyway, okay, so that's it. I guess those are the arguments.
But the whole thing of them saying this is because they didn't go through a doctor.
I forgot about that. Yeah, so they didn't go through a doctor. It was just probably a loophole or whatever, or something like a detail they didn't think about. But in any case, because we know some, we're not going to name them, but there are couples who we know who did the turkey baster method. Yeah. This is pretty much a turkey baster method, what they did, you know.
Yeah.
The guy jacked off and gave him a syringe, and there you go. And this is also the situation in, don't you remember this was also the situation in Queer as Folk, when Brian Kinney donated his sperm to the lesbian couple, their friends. Anyway, so that's what happened there. So anyway, turkey baster method. So what does this article say? The turkey baster method has a lot of responsibilities that are
well the state is saying that he's still responsible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's going to be there's lots of responsibilities.
So I guess if you're donating sperm to somebody, you better follow the go get a lawyer and follow through with everything.
Yeah. Well, they did have a contract, but it's not enough.
Yeah, but was that just a contract that a lawyer drew up, or did the court sign off on it, or what?
Yeah, I mean,
that's what's going to have to go in play before the appeal going over that in the next court ruling is, we had a binding contract. Are y'all saying that contracts no longer binding just because we didn't go through a doctor?
So they have to make a case on that one. Yeah, so it's an agreement between the parents. It's an agreement between them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I guess that's a good article. I like that one. Okay, so I guess those are the new stories for the year, and we'll have some more next week. And if you guys want to go see the articles that we post, Ray and I have been putting our stories on Facebook. On facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. And if you want to contact us through email, you can email us at show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you everyone for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Bye.